All right, if you would, turn over to Jeremiah chapter 47. And I had thought about maybe doing something different tonight because of the holiday tomorrow, but I preached on Thanksgiving on Sunday, and just studying and praying about it, this is the Lord led me back to Jeremiah. So we don't have that much left in Jeremiah, so I don't know. We might get through. Haven't looked to see how many Wednesday nights are left between now and the end of the year. We might get through this by the end of the year. We'll see. And I had thought about combining tonight's, because 47 is such a short chapter, combining it with the next chapter, but the next chapter is really long, so I thought, whether or not. tonight is a prophecy about the Philistines. And the Philistines, probably other than the Egyptians, probably the most popular and most well-known, anyway, the most Christians of the enemies of Israel. We know the stories of the Philistines and David before he was king, after he was king. You don't hear much about the Philistines after David, but according to Jeremiah, they were still part of, are still there. In his day, just not the force that they once were. I don't know if you still have your maps, the ones that Brother Compton had printed off for us in his study on the Kings, but there's some back there to back if you need one. We're going to look at some of the places mentioned on that map. Well, your book, your Bible may have maps in the back of it also. And if you got one of the two kingdoms, the split kingdom of Israel and Judah, that would be the more accurate one, because that's when this takes place. Well, of course, Israel is already, at the time we're studying, Israel is already taken into captivity, and Babylon is besieging Jerusalem, but the cities and the landscape is still the same. Now, if you notice on that map, Philistia, or the land of Philistine, the Philistines, is on the western coast of the land of Israel, or the land of Judah, I should say, the kingdom of Judah. It's along the coast of the Mediterranean Sea, and you hear in the news today, when you hear them talk about Israel and the Palestinians, you hear them talk about the Gaza Strip. Well, that's where that is. And the West Bank, all those things are... the Gaza Strip, we're going to talk about the city of Gaza tonight. So the Gaza Strip is on that side of the country, and that was where the Palestinians ruled from. If I'm remembering correctly from world history, the Palestinians that are over there now try to claim that they can trace their roots back to the Philistines. And that's where they try to claim that they have a claim on the land of Israel. Something I studied years ago, and I can't remember where, but when I preached on this topic of several years ago, found that they really don't have a lineage back that far. The Palestinians that are over there now are not descendants of the Philistines. That's something that they fabricated to try to say that they had a claim on the land. That's all it is. If you remember, back in the 60s and 70s and maybe part of the 80s, you had the PLO, the Palestinian Liberation Movement, Palestinian Liberation Organization. Yasser Arafat, remember, was the head of that. That was the group that claimed to be descendants of the Philistines, and they weren't. That was something that him and his captains, his right hand men, fabricated. And that's a historical fact. You know, if you don't want to take my word for it, you can look it up. It's you can find it on the internet. It's not hard to find. Now, in chapter 47. We'll start with verse 1. The word of the Lord that came to Jeremiah the prophet against the Philistines before that Pharaoh smote Gaza. So we see tonight Pharaoh mentioned. So this has to have happened before chapter 46. Because remember last week in chapter 46 we saw where Egypt was destroyed. And we know I can't remember which chapter it was in now, but one of the chapters we studied not too far back. Remember when Egypt and Pharaoh and his army came into the land of Judah? Some tried to say that he was there to defend Jerusalem, to help them out. Some said it was just a conspiracy that he was really there just to kind of watch and see what the Chaldeans and the Babylonians were doing, and was hoping that maybe that Israel or Judah would weaken them enough that they could whip them, and that didn't happen. And matter of fact, history will tell us, and in the scripture we've studied already tells us that the king of Babylon, they stopped the siege of Jerusalem for a short time, and then went over and whipped the Egyptians and run them out. Now that's not when they went and took over Egypt. That came later. And as we saw last week, we saw that was after Jeremiah. Remember the man Johanan that had taken the remnant out of Judah after Jerusalem fell and after Babylon and the Chaldeans had kind of split the country up, the country of Israel and Judah up. And Jeremiah and make sure you get this guy's name pronounced right. Baruch were with them, and they went into Egypt against the orders of God, and that's when God sent Babylon into Egypt and destroyed Egypt. So all that happened after what we're talking about tonight, but it happened in the last chapter. So remember what I've said before, Jeremiah. Right now he's jumping around in time, so. What we're talking about tonight happens before Jerusalem fell. And we see it, Pharaoh smote Gaza. So remember, there's two different claims on this story as far as Egypt. Some say that they went across the sea in boats and did a beach landing, if you will, and come up through Palestine or through Phoenicia that way. Others say they come by land up, if you see on that map, it has the International Coastal Highway. Well, that was a trade route. Some say that's the way they came up that way. The scripture really isn't clear on that, so I don't know which way they came, but we do know they came through Phoenicia. And we're going, working their way to Jerusalem. And like I said, they were standing off just kind of watching the Babylonians. But in the meantime, they took over the Philistines. They took over the Philistines. And that's what we're reading about tonight. They smote Gaza, he said. This is Pharaoh smote Gaza. So in that time, Gaza was the chief city of the Philistines. Now, in verse 2, thus saith the Lord, behold, waters rise up out of the north, and shall be an overflowing flood, and shall overflow the land, and all that is therein, the city, and them that dwell therein. Then the men shall cry, and all the inhabitants of the land shall howl. Now, what's he talking about here? Well, remember in our study in Revelation, where we talked about a body of water mentioned in the scripture sometimes can mean a large group of people. Well, that's what he's talking about here. He says the whole waters rise up out of the north. What came out of the north? The Chaldeans and the Babylonians. It wasn't the Egyptians. The Egyptians came from the south. So the Babylonians, remember, they went over and met. They stopped their siege of Jerusalem. Their army went over and met the Philistine, or not the Philistines, the Egyptians, and there was a battle, and the Babylonians won. He said, and shall be an overwhelming, or an overflowing flood. In other words, they're going to overwhelm not just the Egyptian army, but the whole land of Philistia. They're going to take over the Philistines. And remember, these nations that were these prophecies are about is in these next few chapters. He talks about the next chapter is Moab, then you have Ammon, and then Edom, Kedar. Kedar is not on the map, and then Elam is not on the map. And then, of course, Babylon's the last one. But the others are on this map that we've got. So Edom, Moab, Ammon, and Philistia are all on this map. These were all nations that are mentioned further back in the book of Jeremiah. They are nations that had formed an alliance with the king of Babylon and with the Chaldeans, and hoping that mighty army would leave them alone. That was the hope. That was their hope. But now, at least the Philistines, and we'll get to the others later, but the Philistines are going to be overtaken. And it's because the Egyptians showed up. If the Egyptians had stayed away, the Babylonian army would have stayed in Jerusalem to finish the siege there before going anywhere else. But so the king of Babylon orders his army over to attack Pharaoh. And it's there in verse 3 says, and shall overflow the land. So not just the army of Pharaoh, they're going to overflow the Philistines. And all that there is the city, all that there is in the city and them that dwell there. And then the men shall cry, and all the inhabitants of the land shall howl at the noise of the stamping of the hooves and of his strong horses, at the rushing of his chariots, and at the rumbling of his wheels, and the fathers shall not look back to their children for feebleness of hands. It's going to be, the adults are going to be so scared of what's about to happen. They're going to leave their kids. They're going to leave their children where they're at home, you know, wherever. In the field, wherever they're at, they're going to leave them and run, because they're scared for their lives. Verse 4, because of the day that cometh to spoil all the Philistines, and to cut off from them Tyrus and Sidon, every helper that remaineth, for the Lord will spoil the Philistines, the remnant of the country of Kaphtor. And I don't remember where. Well, Tyre is way up north. And if you look at the northern kingdom of Israel, up north on the left on the coast is Tyre. That's the same thing as Tyrus that we're seeing here. So the if you remember, the Egyptians at one time went all the way up almost to the Chaldean border of their own country. Remember, we looked at that last week. They there was a time where they were about to cross the river Euphrates, but the Babylonians stopped them. So at this time, they go up to as far as Tyre and Zidon, and I don't know if Zidon is on this map or not. I don't see it right off. Sidon. Okay, yeah, you're right. Yes, okay. So Tyre and Sidon, and on this map it says Phoenicia But if I remember right, the Philistines basically had the whole coast right there at one time. I don't know about it this time or not, but Sidon and Tyre are now part of Syria. So that's how far north that is. So they went, he says, for the Lord will spoil the Philistines. Why is that? Remember we talked about that last week with the Egyptians. All these nations that we're going to see talked about in the next few weeks are nations that have caused Israel trouble ever since they crossed into the Promised Land. They are the ones who brought the false gods to the Israelites, to the Jews. And now God is going to take out his wrath on them. They're going to be destroyed. And as I've said before, many of these nations you'll never hear from again. Especially once the scripture is closed and finished, you'll never hear them spoken of in world history again. Because of the army of Babylon. The king of Babylon goes and destroys them. Verse 5, he says, baldness has come upon Gaza. Ashkelon is cut off with the remnant of their valley. How long wilt thou cut thyself? Now, he says, baldness has come upon Gaza. He's talking about everything there is gone. Everything is destroyed. The land is barren now. There's nothing left. The Chaldean army went in and just destroyed everything, just like they had done in Israel and in Judah. When they went in, they burned it to the ground, and there's nothing left. It's barren wilderness now. And he says, Ashkelon is cut off with the remnant of their valley. The Ashkelon is right there on the coast, just north of Gaza. The same thing happened there. Those were two of the main cities of the Philistines, and they destroyed them. And he says, how long wilt thou cut thyself? Well, remember, one of the customs in their day, and even before their day, you see it mentioned in the scripture, when someone was in distress or was in grieving, a common practice was they'd cut themselves. We see that mentioned with the Jews. You know, they did it some. It was a form of mourning in some cases. And then on into verse 6, he says, oh, thou sword of the Lord, how long will it be ere thou be quiet? Put up thyself into thy scabbard, rest and be still. Now remember, in the time that we're talking about, the sword of the Lord is not, he's not talking about the scripture. He's not talking about the word of God. He's actually talking about the king of Babylon. The king of Babylon is acting as the sword of the Lord in this study. And when you see it mentioned in the book of Jeremiah, that's what he's talking about. We've seen it a few times before. Remember, the Lord is the one that caused them to come down and take over everything and punish his people. Now, here, of course, the Philistines are not God's people, but the sword of the Lord, the army of Babylon, the king of Babylon and his army have come to destroy everything. And in Jeremiah says, how long will it be ere thou be quiet? If I'm understanding this right, Jeremiah is asking how soon is this going to happen? When's this going to happen? It happens fairly quickly after this is written. Verse 7, how can it be, seeing the Lord hath given it a charge against Ashkelon and against the seashore, there hath he appointed it. So how can the Lord keep quiet. You know, we talk about the Lord coming back again, and we wonder, well, when's it going to happen? You know, people question, you know, people actually question when it's going to happen, or if it's going to happen. But here he says, how can it be quiet? In other words, how can the sword of the Lord stay quiet? In other words, how can it not move? He says, seeing the Lord hath given it a charge. In other words, the Lord has ordered it. It's the Lord's will. It's going to happen. And it's in the Lord's time. Notice he says, there hath he appointed it. The Lord. The Lord has appointed a time on when this is going to happen. And of course we know it's already happened, but in Jeremiah's day when he's writing this, these are the questions that he has. When is this going to happen? You know, and then it does. So I know that's kind of short, but we'll stop there for tonight. Study these things. It's always, maybe not for y'all, but for me, it's always interesting to study, especially to pull a map out when you're studying these things. And when he's naming these other countries and these other cities and things that we're not familiar with, and pull out one of these old maps to see exactly where they were, and to see what's there today. Compare this older map to a new map and see what's there today. And like I said, you'll see where Phoenicia was is where the Gaza Strip is today. That's where the Palestinians occupy today. I don't know. People have all kinds of speculation on what's going to happen over there. I don't try to speculate on that because I really don't think it's not going to concern us in the future. But should there be two different nations in the land of Israel? Well, no. We know what the scripture says. It belongs to Israel. It doesn't belong to Palestine. There was never a Palestine. It was referred to the land of Palestine, but there never was a Palestinian nation. They were the ones that are there now were nomads. They were nomads until recent years. They were nomads. They moved around. There are some who claim that their families owned parts of that land over there throughout history, and probably they did, but they didn't have a right to it. Israel is the only one who has a right to that land. So, don't fall into the trap of, you know, trying to guess what's going to happen over there. It's a curiosity thing, I think, for most Christians, but really it's not our concern. We do pray for Israel, for the nation, God's people of Israel, but politically speaking, if the Lord saw fit to dissolve what's called Israel over there now, we're still to pray for the nation of Israel, because the political Israel that's over there now is not God's elect nation. It's a secular nation right now. So anyway, we'll close with that.